In 2013, Freeform released a show called The Fosters, a pro-LGBT show that quickly became a hit for the network and helped shape the identity of the network itself. This is their spinoff called Good Trouble. Linda and I watched it. We have plenty of thoughts, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Okay. It's a good jam.
I love it. I feel like this could be my new workout song.
It's a great workout song, and I feel like it's very appropriate for the show.
Oh, absolutely.
And we have plenty of thoughts on the show. As you guys know, my name is Jeff Graham. This is TV Pilot Reviews, and I'm joined by Linda Antwi.
Hi, guys.
Linda, good to see you.
Welcome back.
Happy 2019.
2019 is going to be a great year.
So, Linda, you're Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Is Canadian New Year's the same as American New Year's?
Well, we've had many discussions about Canada, and
yes.
I'll have to tell you that it is absolutely the same.
It's the same calendar in Canada.
Same calendar.
Okay, I didn't know.
Same calendar year.
The Thanksgiving's different. So.
Thanksgiving's different. Jeff didn't know about Boxing Day. I had to explain it to him, so it was a lot.
I'm learning a lot.
It was a valid question.
I'm getting culturally developed, not only through my friendship with Linda, but also through this new show, Good Trouble, on Freeform. If this is your guys' first time tuning into TV Pilot Reviews, Linda and I cover new pilots. We don't review entire shows. So we actually do have an after show for Good Trouble. So if you're already a super fan of this show, go ahead and check that out. It's on our AfterBuzz TV Dramas channel. They'll be reviewing it week by week. This is actually just going to be our only time covering it. We only watched the pilot, but safe to say, I think both of us really liked the show.
Loved it.
Quick about what the show is about. We're following Callie Adams Foster and Mariana Adams Foster, who are already established characters from a previous show called The Fosters, as they begin their journey in adulthood in Los Angeles.
Yes.
We've seen shows like this a lot, but I think this show is doing something pretty different.
Yep.
There's a trailer that we're going to watch to give you guys a tone of the show. Then we'll give you our overall thoughts.
Hey, you single?
Welcome to your new home.
It's my sister, Callie.
I'm so gonna smash him.
All right, have a good first day.
So, how should I rule?
I would grant the motion to suppress.
No.
For real? You're an engineer?
Yes.
We'll get you started on some data entry.
Data entry?
So, both our jobs suck.
We can't quit. We fight.
Cheers.
So what are you gonna do?
The culture is sexist and racist, and if I get fired, then at least someone had the guts to speak up.
I don't allow empathy to distort my judgment.
Am I just here to help prepare you to shoot down the progressive argument?
You're making things harder on yourself.
It's kind of my thing. We're Adams Fosters. We don't give up.
There it is. Good Trouble.
You know what's interesting is I usually love the trailers. Mm-hmm. I feel like that trailer didn't do enough for the show.
Yeah, it was a little generic, maybe.
Yeah, it was.
And I personally don't think this show is generic at all. And I have to say, going in, I was worried it would be. I was like, oh, another 20-somethings figuring out the new city show.
But I gotta tell you, I was super skeptical. It won me 150% over.
Yeah, like, I loved it.
The first 2 minutes, I was like, oh, no.
I know, at the beginning.
Yeah, and then it really... It changed my tunes.
Yes. So what were your overall thoughts on the pilot, kind of watching it, Linda?
So overall thoughts, again, I thought it was a slow burn in the first 5 minutes for me. And then it just kicked into high gear. I thought the writing was done beautifully. I thought the shots were done beautifully. Mm-hmm. However, there were a couple of times where they were doing flashbacks that kind of, I felt they stumbled a little bit.
Interesting.
But overall, I loved the show.
We have some people in the chat. We have Coffee Time. Linda's saying hello to Linda.
So. Hi, Coffee Time. Yes, I'm doing another show.
Yes.
Thanks for watching.
So thanks for tuning in, guys. If you have thoughts on the pilot, let us know. We'll read them on air. I agree with you, except I actually didn't mind the editing. It was kind of jerky, but I feel like that was sort of the point. And I got to say, for those who haven't seen the show, there's a lot of unconventional editing choices. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of kind of playing with the chronology of the events we're seeing in the pilot.
Right.
And while it could be a bit disorienting, I sort of enjoyed it because I think what I liked about this show the most is that it's doing a lot of things we've seen already, but just doing it 20% better than most of the times we actually see it.
And entertaining.
And more entertaining. Mm-hmm. So I think the characters are a bit more better realized in pilots than we usually see.
I agree.
I think, like, the hurdles, like, the work experience hurdles that we often see played out in conventional ways are done in a more interesting way. Mm-hmm. I think the editing is a little more deliberate and stylistic. I think the soundtrack is better than a lot of the things we see in these shows.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so I think, like, on one hand, this does feel like kind of a conventional coming-of-age show, but just done a lot more skillfully than I think we see done.
And I feel like it's a lot more present-day. It's very mm-hmm. relatable. So. Yeah. Just even tackling the issues that they're tackling and moving to Los Angeles specifically, mm-hmm. all of those things just seemed very like 2019.
I agree. And it's funny because a lot of times you watch these shows and you're like, oh, look, someone in their late 50s, early 60s doing a show about Gen Z and not getting it right at all.
Yeah.
And even I'm older than these people in this show, not by a ton, but definitely like I feel like that stage of my life has already passed.
Yeah, me too. I was like, oh, I know. Am I getting old?
I know. It's like this feels like yesterday. This doesn't quite feel like today for me.
Yeah.
But I do think these writers did a great job of capturing not only the spirit, but sort of the attitudes and issues that really people in their young 20s are engaging with.
Uh-huh.
Especially, I know the intro at first felt a little cliche, but
I was about to not have it.
Were you?
Yes, I was like, who are... So I didn't know anything about the Fosters. I think that's my disclaimer. But I was like, who are these two MIT and lawyer from San Diego driving in a U-Haul? Everything's going to be great. They're going to live downtown. Like,
right.
What... What, and they're like singing, like there's no fear, no. I just thought, oh no, this is going to be way too
cliche
for me. I cannot do it. But that changed very quickly.
It changed very quickly. I want to jump right back to that point. But before we do, guys, I want to let you know at this point from here on out, we will be giving spoilers. So we've given you our overall take on the show. What we do right now is we give you our pass or play. So whether or not we would personally pass or play on the show mm-hmm. and whether or not we would recommend audiences pass or play on this show. Linda, you go first.
I'm a complete play. I'm going to watch the after show. I looked it up on AfterBuzz, our network,
yes.
to see if there was one. And there is one. And I'm that enthralled because the characters seem like they're going to have so many different layers. And
I'm not sure if the panel's full, Linda. They might be looking for a alternate perspective.
Yeah, listen,
so
I might have to
hop on there.
Look. Yeah, I
am probably a pass. I hate to say, not because I don't think it's good, but just because I have a lot of TV I'm already watching.
A personal pass.
Personal pass.
Oh, wow.
But for fans of not only sort of teen-driven dramedies, and I'll say early 20s-driven dramedies, mm-hmm. but I'd say good writing and just solid television, this is a recommended show. I'd say this is definitely worth playing. And we have Anna Claudia in the chat saying hello as well.
Hi, Anna.
Good to have you here. But this is a really solid show. I don't really see anyone who likes this type of television not enjoying what's being presented on screen.
No, I agree. I think that, if we're going to do that if you like part, mm-hmm. I think that if you like... on ABC, they had the meet for the people, and it got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar vibe in coming of age, mm-hmm. I feel, or grownish.
Yeah,
but way different. Mm-hmm. Like there's almost of a darker undertone that I like about this show.
Definitely, it's a little what's the word? Little not bleaker, but a little just grittier.
Grittier, yeah, that's a perfect word actually.
I would say the bold type for fans of that show would also pretty much. If you're liking Freeform already, you'll definitely like this show. This is a perfect entry, and I have to applaud not only the creators of this show but the network for really locking into the tone of, I'd say, high quality tween driven content.
Yeah,
it's really solid stuff. So we both like the show. As mentioned, from here on out, we will be giving you spoilers. So if you just wanted our hot take without any sort of revealing about the show, you should tune out now. For those who want to hear more, stay tuned. So we talked about this intro. You were a little worried. It felt kind of cliche at the beginning.
100%. And it was like, oh, it's an hour, 50 minutes?
I know.
I'm not gonna be able to. But it caught my attention right away. Like, I was not multitasking. I was zoned in. But that first few minutes, oof.
You know what I liked about it, though, was even though it was this kind of cliche, like, ladies go into the city introduction, I liked the inclusion of Instagram stories and Snapchat, and I almost felt like one thing I like about this show is I think they're presenting us sort of an irony-free, earnest view of young people, but there is a little bit of parody in there. Like, I feel like they're not afraid to make fun of the young person.
Right.
You know, like, these people are so idealistic and ambitious, and it's like they haven't had their dreams crushed yet. And I think
they can change the world still.
Well, and I think the show's going to get at that. But I also think the show isn't afraid to make fun of the fact that sometimes, you know, Gen Z especially is so optimistic about their ability to change the world and sort of so unfettered and that stuff.
Yeah.
And they're not afraid to sort of make fun of that a little bit.
Yeah.
In a way that still feels loving toward the characters.
I agree. I thought that what was interesting about the two girls so far is that you could tell that they're almost just owning their adulthood, you know, their coming of age, so to speak. But clearly, like, this is all fresh and shiny and new. Even though I don't know their particular backstories from the Fosters, but I heard that on the Fosters, they were also a hot mess.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because one thing I like about the show, too, is even though they're a hot mess in some ways, they're professionally on top of it.
Well, yeah. But that, think about when you graduated university. Mm-hmm. We're all like that because we're so full of book knowledge.
Right.
Right. So we're on it in our jobs, but not necessarily, you know, in our personal spaces.
But what I like is I think a lot of times these shows have their protagonists floundering professionally in a different way, where they're not capable.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, excuse me, both of these characters are very capable and professionally savvy, but it's really the environment around them that's not allowing them to thrive, which I think will be interesting.
Which is what, and I've read up about this a little bit just because I was kind of, it caught my attention. I think what they're doing well about this is they're dealing with tech and women in tech, which I think is important. We haven't often seen on TV the engineering community. We see law and order and all of that, but we haven't seen that and like that whole bromance that tends to happen because it's so heavily dominated by males. Mm-hmm. So that part I love that they address. And as far as like the politics of the show, it looks like to me that they're going to delve right into it, the liberal versus conservatism, which is all the things that present day we're dealing with.
Yep.
And all the things that not only like make us come together and discuss the issues, but have us completely divided.
Absolutely.
And they're touching on race. Like, I was like, they're going for all of it. Touching on race and racism and
sexuality. The thing I was so relieved by, too, is that neither of them were actors and neither of them work in media.
Yeah.
Because, well, I guess video games are technically media, but she's a software engineer, you know? Mm-hmm. She's not, like, a journalist.
Like, she's the coder.
Right. And it's, like, always in city-set shows about young people, especially in L.A., it's like, this is the actor, this is the writer and director, which I like because we work in that industry, but it's nice to see an L.A. show that's not just obsessed with Hollywood, because that's what we always get.
And I feel like they played around with that a little bit when the two were in the pool, that pool scene. Oh, so are you an actor? No, are you? No, I'm actually a doctor. No, I'm a lawyer. Like that whole play on things. Mm-hmm. And both of them were not in the industry.
Right. And I was just so relieved. let's start with the engineering kind of component.
Okay.
This is a fresh take on how to explore the woman in the workplace. And the thing that I loved the most was I was reminded of another show that we covered. Do you know what show I'm thinking of?
No.
I Feel Bad.
Oh, I Feel Bad, yes.
And I thought, that was a show that got a woman in a bro-dominated video game environment so wrong. I don't know if you remember, but the thing is, she walks in, and the first thing they do is have a laughing conversation about whether or not the guys would have sex with her.
For laughs. I've watched the show.
You're watching I Feel
I've
Good.
Watched it, and it's really a conundrum for me.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't embrace that whole tech thing. It's more about her other, like her personal life, which I get, but it's not realistic.
Yeah. Whereas in this, it's like, in that show, the like, look at these bros sexually harassing her.
And but it's okay.
It was played as a joke. Yeah. And in this, it's like she goes into the folder and sees, you know, inappropriate images, and it's played for honesty, which is just so much more of a relieving viewing experience. I felt so uncomfortable with the way I Feel Bad handled that.
Yeah.
Especially now, you know?
In present day, I know.
Right.
We actually talked about it because it's so close to the Me Too movement that we were just shaking our heads. Like, where are we going with this?
Mm-hmm.
What I do think that was important to address as well as the other female engineer in the show and her advice to her. And it almost sounded, for me, it almost seemed like it was standoffish. But you see the smile at the end when she actually makes the changes, which it's unfortunate that she can't even wear what she wants to wear.
So interesting, though. You know, like, what a it's such a nuanced exploration of that type of culture, I thought.
But true.
And true, right.
And true, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to be taken seriously, these are the things that you have to do. And, I mean, we don't have to get into it, but to have to desexualize who you are because people are assuming that you are sexualizing yourself in the workplace is awful.
It's BS.
It's awful.
Well, then let's talk about the power suit wearing other half of this show, which is, of course, let me get the character name. Oh, and you know
Callie.
What? I absolutely forgot. For you Fosters fans, that's funny. I have a rundown here and I just skipped right over it. I'm going to really quick call to something, and that's because we have a fan of the Fosters. We thought it would be irresponsible to cover this show without someone else's perspective. So one of our other hosts who actually watches the Fosters and loves that show and is on the panel for Good Trouble named Megan has her thoughts as a fan of the Fosters. Let's roll her in right now.
Oh, that's great.
Hey guys, my name is Megan Lynn. I am a huge fan of The Fosters and now its spinoff, Good Trouble. I am here for TV pilot review to talk to you about the pilot, which just premiered a few days ago called Good Trouble. It takes place in downtown LA. And if you did watch The Fosters, the spinoff is based around Callie and Mariana. They've both graduated college now, Callie Law School and Mariana MIT. They're both starting new jobs. Callie is working as a clerk at a law firm for a conservative judge, and Mariana is working at a tech company, which is really interesting to see how they're both emerging into adulthood. You also see a lot of their interesting living situation in a communal building called The Coterie. And we get introduced to a lot of new characters, but there is promise that we're going to see Steph and Lena back, the moms, Jude's coming back, and a lot of the other characters from the original show. So there's definitely those gems to look forward to. I think this show pushes the envelope a little bit more. It's a little more sexy, a little more grown up, and they're not afraid to talk about really uncomfortable issues. They're really checking off everything on the list. They have LGBT representation. They talk about the Black Lives Matter movement. They talk about millennial issues like affording rent, the economy. I think they're going to get more into gentrification in downtown LA. So it's a really timely show. It talks about a lot of issues that are really important in our country, in our world right now, and issues that are really pertinent for our generation. So I think it's a really good show for young people to watch, to have a safe space to discuss kind of the really hard, difficult conversations that need to be had with issues going on in the world. And if you want to see more about the show, I'm on the Good Trouble panel, and we'll be going live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific time. So make sure you tune in.
Megan, very well said. This is Jeff in the booth hopping in. The fans, you guys know who I am. I have one more question for you while you're on. As an original fan of The Fosters, do you feel like this show is doing that show service? And do you feel like it's kind of targeting Fosters fans or sort of reaching out to a new audience?
I think a lot of Fosters fans will carry over to this. The Fosters was a little more family-oriented, and I'd be hesitant to have, like, younger kids watching it. I think it's at least, like, a 13-plus show with some of, like, the sexual content and the language and the topics discussed are a bit more adult. But I think there is still a lot to enjoy. They're definitely sticking with the social justice theme and not afraid to touch on those issues, especially the Black Lives Matter movement. I know they have one of the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement on staff as a consultant. So they have a lot of representation for the issues they're talking about. And you're definitely hearing a lot of different voices there, which is cool. I think they're just further developing that push for like social justice and representation that they started in the Fosters.
Thank you so much, Megan. And guys, one more time, you can find her on the Good Trouble After Show. That's Tuesday nights. Megan, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And we're back.
And we're back.
Sorry to jump ship. I just wanted to make sure we were also serving our Fosters fans because I wanted to. At the same time, though, I feel like this show really exists on its own terms.
I was just about to say that. I think that even if you weren't a Foster fan or, like me, had never watched The Fosters, I feel like you can jump in and this can be a standalone in itself.
Definitely. I mean, I had never seen the show, and even I had maybe had general knowledge that the show is about two lesbian parents, but I think this show did a good job of letting us know, showing us, not telling us.
Yep.
When they had that phone conversation, did you catch on quickly?
I did. I wasn't sure in the beginning. I was like, how are these two related? Mm-hmm. And then when the moms called, I said, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You don't even need to tell me. I get it. I appreciate that you appreciate I'm a smart enough viewer to understand where you're going with this.
Exactly. I think this show in general really trusted its audience to be smart.
Yep.
Because, you know, even with the way it told its story and sort of the jumpy editing, it didn't really hold our hand, but it didn't need to because the production design and the acting and writing were solid enough to keep us along for the ride.
I agree.
So the only component of the show we haven't really talked about yet is, we've touched on it, but a little bit of Mariana's job and how they're incorporating the Black Lives Matter movement into the show.
Okay.
I think this is really well done. And it's interesting because I don't think the show, even though it's presenting multiple arguments, it doesn't seem too heavy-handed in the way it's describing these issues.
No, I don't think so either. I think what was really realistic for me as just a Black female in America was Callie actually not really even knowing, and I don't know the character's name, but her
is it Malika?
Malika?
I think so. Let me look it up.
Well, her communal roommate was explaining what happened, and because there's so many of them, which is so true in America, that they kind of fall on the wayside after year after year after year because it's 5 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really realistic that Callie looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And just was stunned because it wasn't something that was in her immediate vicinity in her life that immediately affected her specifically. But to look it up and to be able to really like try to understand and be affected by it, even though it may not have affected her directly, I thought that was beautiful and realistic.
You're right.
And important because I don't want to get all political, but with the whole Me Too movement and then people saying, you know, like, all lives matter and all of this stuff, that's not what it's saying. But at the end of the day, it's important that we all are on the same page.
Right.
And if you don't know what the issues are, then we can't come to the same page. Does that make sense to you?
Totally. I think it's a really important point you're making because, like, the crappy version of this, or maybe just at least the dishonest version of this would have been if, and we're talking Callie, I'm confusing the character's name, but this
Callie
is the lawyer.
Callie is the clerk.
Perfect. If she would have just been like, oh, I know all about that case. It's this, this, and this. Because the truth is that she's not Black. And like, so she probably wouldn't have had that precedent of knowledge. And I can identify with this, obviously. Like, I come from the most privileged class you can, but I do my best to engage with issues. And just, you know, the truth is I'm probably not as on top of social and political issues as much as I should be, but I try to understand them as much as I can. So they gave her the truth of the fact that she probably wouldn't have known as much as she should about that issue, but also gave her the benefit of giving her the space to research on it. And it's
not only
good stuff.
Not only research on it, but also have an interaction. And even from Malika's point of view, having like that pre-judgmental, like, oh, you why did you choose a conservative judge to clerk for and all of that. So they both came in with a little bit of non-knowledge about just their lifestyles and how they grew up. But you could see that they were coming to a common ground. And you could see in this pilot that they were trying to understand the other person's point of view, which I think is very subtle and not easy to portray on screen.
Couldn't agree more. So the last component of this show is, I think, the least interesting part of this show. It was fine. I just think, whereas the workplace stuff was handled with a lot of, I think, nuance and surprises, maybe this little love triangle we have felt a little more classic TV. But they threw a twist in at the end. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are here.
Okay, well, this is definitely a spoiler because I read up on an article. So we think that the triangle is going to be the two sisters and that Gail. But it's actually going to be Callie, Gail, and a character named Brian.
Interesting.
And Callie's going to not struggle with the fact that Gail is bisexual. She's struggling with the fact that, I guess, in the Fosters, she was the sought-after person. So she was in her own little triangle of attention, but she being the point. And now she's going to be vying for someone else's attention. And she doesn't know how to handle that because apparently she spent the last 5 years like celibate, just focusing on law school. And hence when her sister said, oh, you need to get laid, which I didn't remember hearing, that it all comes together. So it's going to be an interesting love triangle. And for me, I think it's going to be interesting specifically because Gail is bisexual. And I guess one of the creators, Peter Page.
Yes.
Did an opt-in on The Hollywood Reporter And he's basically saying, yeah, we're going to explore that to its fullest because he hasn't seen that done on TV yet.
Great. And yeah, we didn't credit the series creators on this show, which we normally do, but it's Bradley Bredwig and Peter Page who created The Fosters, yep, as well as a new co-creator, Joanna Johnson. Yep. This is typical. I'm wondering if she pitched the show to them because she was working in the writer's room on The Fosters, and typically spinoffs happen that way where one of the writers and EPs on a show will pitch to the creators and then they'll go all in on a new project.
It.
So it's awesome. I think like there's a lot of good in this show.
I agree.
And it's great.
So I have two fun facts. So Callie and Marina, who is Maya Mitchell and Sierra Ramirez, both have executive producer credits on this.
Wow.
And then, so when they were scouting locations, they found this location in, I want to say, Santa Clarita. And this, the Cottery, is a former Melrose Place housing. So where the pool is, Wandwich House, yeah. So where the original pool was for Melrose, they turned that into the rooftop. So the pool that they're hanging out with,
oh wow,
is the original Melrose Place pool.
They really danked it up,
right?
Which is super impressive. I love that. I love that because it's symbolic, right?
Yeah,
it's the same kind of show, but it's like just as the Melrose Place was sort of the more like tame version of teen dramas, the symbolic production design updates totally represent TV now.
That's exactly what Peter Page said.
Put me on this show, guys. Hire me.
Good juju, he said.
Yes. Okay, we have a couple people in the chat who are jumping in, so I'd love to say hi to you guys.
Okay.
Olivia O is saying, it's a fun show, but it's also educating young people, tackling real life issues like drinking and partying, and it shows that young people can become something more than just a cliche and take on more serious issues in society.
Agreed.
Coffee Time, who we know and love, says, it's an interesting show considering I've never watched The Fosters, so I don't know the backstory. Heavenly Gal's asking, you two are just reviewing the pilot, but you both seem impressed with the series. Will you be watching Good Trouble on your own going forward?
I am going to continue to watch it, yes.
It's nothing against the show. I've got plenty of TV I feel like I'm already watching, so I probably won't. But the fact that I'm even thinking about it says a lot about how good this show is, because normally this isn't my type of TV.
Yeah.
So we talked about other shows that you would like if you've already seen... If you've watched other TV.
Yeah, we talked about The Bold Type, For the People, Grown-ish.
Yeah, definitely. I think pretty much anything on Freeform, but those three would probably be the best precedents for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing we're going to do is rate the pilot episode, which we always do.
Yes, we never see eye to eye on this.
Yes, we don't.
But I have a feeling so your rating system, I don't know if it has any rhyme or reason to it.
Okay, Linda. Shade. All right. Well, I'm giving this a 4.5.
Oh, wow. That's really high. Have we had a 5 out of 5?
I gave Maisel a 5.
Oh, I wasn't here yet.
That's okay. Right. Yes.
All right. I really thought it was great. I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go 4.5.
Hey, new year, new us.
Yeah.
Well, guys, this has been our coverage on Good Trouble. I liked it a lot, and who knows? I could see my wife liking this show, so maybe this is a show we would be watching together. But the good news is we do have an after show for this.
Yes.
It airs on Tuesday nights, I believe at 9 p.m., but I'm not positive about
8 p.m.
that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It airs Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific, so definitely tune in for that. We have someone else asking, have we reviewed You on Netflix? We reviewed that. And we have an after show for it. So yes, Olivia, we do, because we cover everything here at AfterBuzz TV. Before we go, I want to let you guys know that we do cover pretty much everything here at the network, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that works harder to serve television fans, but we need your help right now. We're asking that you guys hop on YouTube and subscribe to our channels.
Yep.
I don't like notifications, so I don't like subscribing to YouTube channels. But I learned that you can turn those off, which I did. So if you guys subscribe to our channels and turn off notifications, YouTube will just recommend content for you. And it
Instead
actually makes...
alerting you.
Exactly. And it makes your YouTube experience better. So, Linda, you love TV?
Yes, I do.
I love TV?
Yes, you do.
Hit that subscribe button, guys. It's only going to make your YouTube experience better. This has been TV Pilot Reviews.
It has been.
It has been. We review a new pilot every week, guys. This week we reviewed Freeform's Good Trouble, but we'll have a new show next week. In this case, we do have an after show, but in some cases we don't greenlight after shows until we hear your responses to them on this TV Pilot Review channel. So we'll have a new show next week. We haven't picked it yet, but we will soon. So we'll tweet it out.
Yes, we'll tweet it out. And guys, if you want us to review anything, do hit us up in the comments because we love reading them and hearing from you.
Or you can tweet us. And if you want to tweet us, Linda, where would they reach you?
You can reach me all across social media, guys, at Linda is so girly.
And you guys can reach me on social media at Jeffrey C. Graham on Twitter. And this has been TV Pilot Reviews. We'll see you next week, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.